This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast, the ravaged heroes stare death in the face.
But I'm a stickler for playing the game the way I think it's supposed to be played. Playing the encounters the way they were meant to be played.
And in a desperate attempt to survive...
Oh my God, he's unconscious! Imagine if she did it!
A decision will be made that will change the party forever.
Joe is not even looking at Matthew!
This is huge. This is insane.
The adventure continues now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Glass Cannon Podcast. It's your boy, Grant Berger, and your main dwarf, Baron Redheart, the sheriff with a heart of gold. You know, in thinking about the New Year's, I'm hoping all of you are sticking to your New Year's resolutions. And if you haven't yet, I want one of your resolutions to be that you play Pathfinder. The boys are always an email away at glasscannonpodcast@gmail.com to get you started, and I want to share a little story of my own. This weekend, I actually played Pathfinder with longtime listener Kevin Odell and his buddy Sean Oliveris, who was GMing for the very first time. He was very nervous. He shouldn't have been, because I had an absolute blast. I even was able to discover through this game a second accent. Something magical happened that only Pathfinder could unleash. I could do something besides a Texas accent. You know, even though I'm used to playing with game masters that have decades of experience, way more than I do, I had a great time playing with Sean because at its heart, Pathfinder is about having a good time with your buddies and enjoying the crazy scenarios that the Paizo team can put you into. Now, I don't think we can play with everyone, but we can definitely always answer any questions you have about how to GM, how to get started, how to find other people. So I'm going to encourage everyone who's listening who hasn't played Pathfinder to try it out, get a group together, and see how it goes. But in light of last week's incredibly difficult cliffhanger, I'm going to pull a Marie Antoinette and introduce episode 85, Let Them Eat Drake.
You know what they say, new year, totally new party. Isn't that what they say? Does anybody say that?
Who is they?
I thought you were just going to sign us up for a Galarian gym membership we were never going to use, Troy. And instead, you're just going to kill us all.
Yeah, I lied about my New Year's resolution. It isn't to give away more bottle caps. It's to actually experience a TPK. Just so I can tell my GM friends when we go to GM parties together.
Aren't the people in this room your GM friends?
Is that like
no, I have other GM friends. Matthew, you're not my only Pathfinder friends. That's not true, you are. How's everybody's week?
You are awful. You're awful!
If any of your New Year's resolution was to stop drinking, I know for sure at least three of you have failed. The emails that I've got from Joe all week, like, I don't understand.
28 points in one bite.
I'm really excited about my new character.
What is the key you press to slur all your words in your email, Joe? I'm really impressed with that.
Let's say, you know, they always say we should take inventory. Let's take inventory of this party right now, starting with Della. So, Della, you just came up, boom, boom, on this Rift Drake.
And didn't get the crit.
Didn't get the crit. Expanded crit range and all. Didn't get the crit. But you did deal significant damage. I would say, I'd have to go back and listen to the videotape, but perhaps the highest damage amount dealt to it in one single round. I know Baron got off two shots. I don't know if both of them hit. We now know that you can't use rapid reload on the dragon pistol, but I'm going to let it slide.
Turns out Hero Lab was right again.
That's now we have to know, like, whenever Hero Lab says something, it's always right.
Because if you have rapid reload, it only applies to one specific weapon.
Which right now is to the double barrel
pistol. Which is to the double barrel pistol. So if you're like, if Lork wanted to take it for the bow and then want to use it for a crossbow, you have to take rapid reload again. Anyways, Baron definitely did some damage, but Della came up and gave it two great smacks, I believe.
For months, I've been rolling so terribly. The best I rolled in this entire combat was like a 14.
Like going back to Massachusetts, I don't know if you Did you like get cursed by a real life witch or something? I don't know.
He was hexed.
Yeah.
If Matthew hangs himself, we gotta think that the real life game has taken over. Yes, I'm sorry, Matthew hung himself. You didn't know.
But you gotta say the Magus, as much as, you know, we talk about how it's a superclass, it's like a finely tuned like supercar. Like if something goes wrong in the clutch or the transmission, like it doesn't work out as perfectly.
I've been waiting to see what makes a Magus the not most OP character in the game. Maybe we're starting to see the cracks in the armor. Baron, knocked unconscious. I think you got crit by it.
No, that's not what put him unconscious.
You were bleeding out. You came to from Will's channel, mm-hmm. and now you're just laying on the ground, shooting from your back, which is good for you, right?
I get some AC bonuses, I guess, but in what other way would it be good for me?
Yeah, the AC bonus mainly.
Yeah, I guess.
Because you're not usually up in melee, so if you're from your back and the Rift Drake is within reach, that's a good place to be. Now let me ask you, Della, how many hit points are you at?
My hero lab. 47.
47 out of?
67.
Out of 67. Baron, you're not in as good a shape.
7 out of 83.
7 out of 83.
Yes, that is certainly less.
Woo!
Remember, fighter subtype, the gunslinger. That's what, D10 dice.
Stay down, Baron. let's talk about Nestor picking up perhaps the worst fumble card. Like, if that had happened
this combat,
to anyone else, well, obviously that would have been just as bad for Baron. But I mean, if it happens to Della.
Yes, or Will, it doesn't mean anything.
Whatever. Is Wilma going to start chucking his lance like a javelin throw at the Olympics? No. So Nestor gets slowed by the acid and cannot use ranged attacks for something like 20 rounds.
Six rounds.
And I think I don't know, three more rounds of that. Am I still slowed, or is that...
No, the slowed ended. Is over. Slowed I think the slowed over. Was five rounds. We're in round...
Three rounds.
Yeah, I just realized that I think I'm 4 pounds into the medium weight encumbrance category, which is slowing me down too. And I was like...
Gotta shed some weight.
Yeah, just if I can drop my hammer... I have a ball peen hammer and a grappling hook. If I could drop those down to the ground, I can move like Baryshnikov.
You know,
why don't you drop those statues you stole from the tomb?
I stole them.
That's right.
He got
up early. Yeah. I mean, I've had to do that on characters before. Like, well, I guess I don't need this. Just ching, 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 drop stuff like Skyrim.
Food.
Food.
Water.
What are you at for hit points, Nestor? Because you also got pretty effed up early on in the fight.
Nestor's at 23.
Out of
52.
23 out of 52.
Some almost bloodied.
Dusty, the horse, terms. The last horse that was given to you by the sweet Tom Exposition, has bled out and died. Reginald, still kicking.
Ran away,
that's right, Reginald's gone.
Well, not, it didn't run away, it ran out of the range.
You know who's going to find Reginald before you guys? Lork.
I love how there's no difference to you between 30 feet and gone the forever. Next county. Like, gone forever.
Lork's going to come riding on Reginald wearing Baron's hat. We were miles away.
And then he's going to see a real challenge and he's going to run away again.
Lork's got
just
a Lork.
Kidding.
And now Sir Will, unconscious,
dying.
I don't even care about your story so much as how many hit points are you at. Now, we said at the end of last thing that you were at negative 11 with a con of 16. But in your many drunken emails to me this week, you pointed out...
This is slander.
This joke is getting out of hand. It's libel.
Libel, yes. It's spoken word.
He's Irish and has a problem. You pointed out to me that you did not add Will's channel, which was 3 hit points. So that's
right. Right before he went down, he channeled right before the attack of opportunity. Right. And he didn't count all 3 of those hit points. So he's actually at -8.
-8.
Which is, let me tell you.
And because that happened in the same round, I have no problem with giving you those 3 hit points. If it had happened 3 rounds ago, SOL, buddy. Shit out of bit of luck. SOBOL. But you are at -8. And it's bleed damage. So after the Drake goes, I mean, you'll be dead anyways. But if you survive somehow, I roll your bleed damage, and that's a D6. And you cannot die from it. But then you roll to stabilize.
Can I roll my bleed damage?
You don't even roll to stabilize, right?
Not if you're bleeding.
Not if you're bleeding. So the worst that can happen is you'll put you at -14 if I roll a 6, which I probably will.
I have a 17 con, not 16.
17 con. All right, so you're 9 points away from permadeath.
And you can't roll a reflex save when you're unconscious.
No, no, you can't.
I don't know what he's building to here.
He literally was wringing his hands in, like, in an evil way.
Like Mr. Burns. So you guys come into this valley.
Oh, what's Umlo doing?
Excuse oh, what, yeah, me. What about Umlo?
Como esta,
hey, who's
Umlo?
Playing Umlo? Who's Umlo? Oh, everyone's pointing fingers.
Matthew,
you're Umlo. This should probably just whoever was playing Umlo continue playing Umlo at the end of this.
No,
encounter.
Thank you.
Okay, Joe has bigger fish to fry.
Actually, my other character is unconscious, but Matthew does a better voice. Let's kick it over to Matthew.
Why don't you just play Umlo when Will dies? Umlo's clearly a much better character.
I'm going
to
have him
stay alive.
Umlo, to answer your question, is at 37 hit points.
Out of a much lower
46.
Threshold. 36.
Oh, I think he only got hit once by the bear. That was it.
He's at 37, you say.
Okay, so you guys come into this valley. You had a nice... Yeah, that's Umlo. You had a nice perception check to hear two voices arguing back and forth about, it's your fault we didn't get there. Your fault you didn't get in. Ah! And then you hear a growl. You guys come down and see a cave bear and an Etten. It wasn't two people. It was one. You immediately, within one round, kill the Etten before I got the joy of doing all four of its flail attacks. For at least a couple rounds, thought it'd be fun. Nope, you kill it. Everybody's like, this adventure is cake! Now, the bear is still there. The bear has more hit points than the Etten, and the bear is just enough to needle away at half of the party who has been beset upon by a rift drake that comes in and spews acid, kills one of the horses, knocks Nestor in bad shape, puts Nestor all this slowing and
slows.
Whatnot. Fight continues for then, looks like 7 or 8 more rounds. My little thing is between the 8 and the 9. I'm not sure where it was. I got to take better pictures after we end our sessions. Now, I've been called many things in my GM days. For example, fair. balanced. I'm fair and balanced. I'm the Fox News of GM.
I'd agree to that.
I agree to that.
Greta Van Susteren.
Which is also the most watched news network in America. So, same thing.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what he's getting at.
It's because our podcast is so popular.
My palms are sweating. I'm just get to it.
It's the Drake's turn.
It's puking up mom's spaghetti.
Now, you guys know that I'm a stickler for the dice. I'm a stickler for the rules, the ones that I can remember, which are few and far between, in the heat of battle. But I'm a stickler for playing the game the way I think it's supposed to be played. Playing the encounters the way they were meant to be played. So I shall lift the veil for a moment and read a sentence straight out of the Adventure Path book.
That you wrote in there.
It's written in crayon.
Written by Mr. Tim Hitchcock. When the Drake comes in, blah, blah, blah. The Drake has come seeking an easy meal, not a fight. So reducing it to fewer than 40 hit points drives it away. Della's last two attacks reduced it to 11 hit points.
Oh my God!
It now uses its speed surge ability, which is a swift action, to take off and fly away.
Oh my God, Tim got chills all over!
126 hit points, and Della's last attack brought it below 40 to 11. It flies away. The Drake is gone.
I have all these dragon sound sets prepared. This is growling and gnashing and acid burning.
Are you trying to get him to come back?
All that work for nothing.
This combat is not over, for it is now Will's turn, and I roll a d6
for
bleed damage.
Right.
Three points of damage.
3 points of bleed.
Sir Will is now bleeding out. What's happening with Lexington here?
Lexington, we said, was about 30 feet away because Will was riding away and was bitten, and you said he went unconscious and fell off the saddle.
So Reginald's gone.
No, Reginald's 30 feet away.
Reginald's gone forever, and Lexington is 30.
You also said Lexington was in the next county.
Right.
So they're together.
Maybe they'll
in the next.
In 6 seconds, these horses can get into the next county.
In the next congressional district.
In 9 months, you see a horse wolf pup.
They already found new jobs. They're actually Uber drivers now. It's really weird. They're sick of being ridden all the time.
All right, so that's Sir Will's turn. It is now, it is Umlo's turn. Umlo has seen the Rift Drake fly away. Came looking for an easy meal.
Umlo will rush to Will and try to do a heal check to stabilize him. Can you do that? With the bleed?
Yes. DC 15 to stabilize the bleed.
And he has a plus zero on the bonus. Nope.
So Umlo's like, I wish this was an omelet. I wouldn't know what to do with that. He just starts smashing Will with a skillet.
Stop bleeding.
This works for the veal.
Oh my God.
Round 9 or 10. It is Baron's turn.
Baron will
cauterize the wound.
I could do that, actually.
That'd be cool.
I could absolutely do that.
Fire a shot and cauterize his wound.
But I'd have to reload. I'd have to switch weapons. So really, within the rigid move economy of
Pathfinder. Can the wound be on his neck? So it's like a permanent neck scar, burn scar.
I love
neck.
The idea. I wish there was more prevalent in the game. I'm sure it's there in the crit cards. It's like permanent maiming. Not like you lose an arm, like you lose your dominant arm, but that's scars. Something.
You lose an ear or something.
That's something we kind of played with. At one point, I can't remember if it was here. It's in one of my games. It's something I like is if you get critted, you carry a permanent scar like from that whatever it was.
I like that. You know? So maybe Will get one.
Can I kind of roll on my belly over to Will and do a heal check?
So you're moving to him and just doing a heal check.
Was,
absolutely,
he was lying next to Will, wasn't he?
Yeah, you're lying right next to him. So you can literally just put your hand.
Okay, great.
On his face.
Nice. This is a success with a.
So I just picture Baron like just crawling over to him.
23.
Like rips open his
23.
Shoves Umlo's hand
is and
pours some whiskey in it.
Stops the bleeding.
Awesome.
Stops the bleeding.
Awesome.
Sir Will.
And then I give him a little smooch.
You'll be okay, Prince. Young Prince.
You are now out of combat.
All right.
Jella will respect Will's wishes and not do infernal healing.
Oh my God, he's unconscious! Imagine if she did it! And it's like,
he woke up and just feels like this dribble down his nose and it's demons.
Oh my God.
Della, you can do whatever you want. Should.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Actually, you know what?
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's going to cast infernal healing on Will.
Oh my God.
With the extend meta magic rods, you get 20 points back.
She's not even looking at Matthew.
This is huge. This is insane.
Tell me the thought process behind this, Della. He has told you he is not down with this healing.
I think from Della's perspective, she does not see why the means don't justify the ends. The ends here are enormous amounts of healing at a rapid pace. More than she can do with her spells, more than she can do with the wand. And he just took a massive wound. He was bleeding out.
You don't have any potions on you?
No, I have the wand.
You have the wand.
But like, from her perspective, he just took a massive hit. And she's like, the best thing I can do for him is to give him my most powerful healing spell.
Way more effective.
And he'll understand.
Right,
maybe he'll understand.
See. He'll finally see.
So it's Della's way of showing him that this isn't as bad as he thinks.
Yeah, exactly.
So Dylan's going to cast Infer.
Baron wants to do, he's going to fail, I think. Wants to do a diplomacy check as he sees her reach for it and says, he's too weak to like physically intercede.
You're the sheriff here.
I just want to say.
There's a sense that you're kind of the party leader. You see this about to happen. What do you say, Baron?
I say, and I'm too weak to move. I'm not going to intercede because I just came back from unconsciousness. I just laid my hand over. I said, Deputy Della, it's not what he wants. It's not what he wants. Think about it.
Roll diplomacy.
Can I oppose the roll? What do I roll?
Yeah.
13.
But do you roll diplomacy against diplomacy? Or is it... Oh, no, well, I think it's just... You're trying to change it from indifferent to friendly.
Disposition, right?
Yeah, so it would be 15 plus...
But it's
plus.
Like, that's really not... You know, Matthew can do whatever he wants. I mean, he's not necessarily going to be affected by...
Right. You know. Let's just see if his words matter to you or not. What's your charisma modifier?
Plus one.
And what did you?
I rolled a 13. I have a negative 2 diplomacy.
His words mean nothing to you.
He may not want it, but he needs it. And she casts it.
She casts infernal healing.
But here's the thing. Let me just debate you on this.
All right.
He absolutely does not need it. You have a wand of Cure Light Wounds. That's like bip, bip, bop. You're out of combat. It's the easiest, fastest way to do the most healing. So you're just doing this to fuck with him. like, call it what it is.
She's amped up on adrenaline, though. You got to remember, she just whipped a dragon twice and it fucking flew away.
I think that would enter into her mind, be like, he really doesn't want this. And I think her first response to that in her own thoughts would be like, yeah, but he doesn't understand. It's better that he doesn't understand the value.
When in essence, I think Della doesn't understand.
Maybe.
get out of this, GM.
Della casts Infernal Healing on Sir Will. Roll to how many hit points is
20 it? Points of healing. Over the next 2 minutes, you get 20 hit points back.
So, Sir Will, you start slowly regaining consciousness over the next couple minutes.
And you detect his evil.
And you're like, there's evil about. It's less than three.
He's like snapping his head around. He's like looking this way and that.
Detect evil. Oh, God.
You sit up, Sir Will, and you feel something wet just dripping from your forehead down to your nose. And it like hits your lower lip.
He takes his finger, touches it, looks at it, detects evil at will.
It's evil.
Literally detects evil at will.
Yep.
At will. At will, Phil.
But yeah, he looks at it and he just like, he shakes. He looks at Della. He immediately knows.
We should stand there with the metamagic rod and the vial.
Yeah, he immediately knows what happens.
Hit it with a gauntlet. Hit it with a gauntlet.
And he starts, he scrambles up and he starts like feverishly wiping like the blood off of his face. He has like a cloth from the flag from his spear, basically, and he's just like rubbing it off, you know, as fast as he can. And Della, why would you do that?
You were hurt. You were grievously injured. I was trying to help.
I'm detecting his evil.
It's only temporary.
He's at a loss for words. He feels like betrayed by her. He's angry.
And I think Della is feeling the same way. Like she's like, but you feel better.
You're certainly conscious. Do not feel better. I feel horrible.
You're alive.
Alive like this is no life at all.
What is Nestor doing during all of this?
Nestor's fixing his bow and still trying to get a shot off at the Drake.
Just with this like, confounded thing work?
He's like, you fucking bastard. Because he's still got the red mist. Like, that's why he ran into the battle in the first place.
Oh, that's right.
So he's not even paying attention.
This is all going down.
And then he'll look at Baron. Sheriff, how could you let her do this to me?
I was weakened. I tried to talk her out of it. I'm sorry I let it happen. But, Sir Will, have you ever heard of Inquisitors?
I have, of course.
Holy warriors of the church who use any means necessary to achieve the goals of protecting the weak against incalculable evil.
Well, I should also say I've met a few Inquisitors that were the most selfish people I'd ever met. They operate outside of the law.
Correct. This was not your choice, and Della may have some penance to give, but I think, in her own mind, she saw desperate times and went for desperate measures. And I don't condone it, but I don't think she herself has an evil heart.
He's going to look over at Della. You knew there were other ways. You knew. And he turns around, turns from her, and walks away. And he immediately drops to his knees and starts to pray for forgiveness from Iomedae. And, you know, it feels like he's, like, lost a connection for a second. It feels like he can't channel. Feels like he can't cast a spell, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's just praying.
So after Nestor fires off a couple of shots, the disappearing Drake, he comes back over. He's just like, fucking bastard. He looks at Will and looks away and says, what's going on? Why is he doing that?
I was trying to help him. I don't understand. I gave him the demon's blood, the infernal healing.
Oh, fucking off. So he looks over at Will. He says, listen, just because you're the same height as a child doesn't mean you have to act like one. He starts walking up down the road.
Oh, boy. And thus, the party survives.
Oh my God.
Another day.
What a bastard cliffhanger. You had... God.
Let's remember that when we recount our best cliffhangers of 2017. Coming in at number 10, the Drake.
There are going to be 52 of those on that list, right?
The top 52! So... What you guys are not in good shape right now. Baron and Will, Sir Will especially. But Nestor and Umlo are down. You're all down. You guys forging ahead. It's afternoon. So you have a couple options. You can continue forging ahead if you come into some sort of danger. You know, your worst fear is being unprepared in terms of where you're at. Or you could rest and strike out in the night.
I think if there's a place, I mean, right now we're kind of between like a cliff and a river. So if we can find a place where we can get off the road and rest, I mean, that's probably a good idea.
Can I do a knowledge local to see if that Etten had like a cave or a home that it stayed in, or if it was just like a wilderness Etten?
I was going to say do a survival check. You can do knowledge nature or survival, whatever's better for you.
Well, I don't have knowledge nature, so survival it is. 20.
The Etten was just displaced. Wandering
around.
Yeah, he was
coming back from something.
Yeah, the Etten was traveling.
Yeah, he was trying to join up with the army.
And
yeah.
He's being turned away.
Yeah, and he
so
was
that's
turned
why he
away.
Came at us.
Yeah. At least that's what we think.
Yeah, I think let's just find a place where we can get off the road.
Yeah. Get off the road.
Yeah.
And rest.
Quick.
Yeah, I could tell you one night's rest is not going to do it for Sir Will without several charges on the wand. So let's just do that first night and we'll see where we're at. Cool.
All right. So it's not first night. You're going to call it quits pretty early. You're going to turn in around 3 or 4 to rest.
Okay.
So you can, yeah, I mean, if you guys got to discuss amongst yourselves, do you want to do a double rest, like stay 2 days camping there and have, or do you want to just camp and strike out during the night?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it as being pretty, unless we use charges up on the wand, Will is going to be, he looks terrible. He's super laid up and like he would need a full 24 hours of bed rest, in which case he could, you know, I mean, I guess it doesn't count as bed rest if you're out, even if you have like a bed roll, right? Does it count as like, because 24 hours bed rest, you get double the healing from resting.
Ah. Oh, so you could just, if it's 4 p.m. now, you could stay until 4 p.m. the next day.
The next evening, yeah. If it's, yeah.
Baron also is not going to heal in one day. So, right. I don't know. Should we go to the mouth of the valley? Double back to where it might be safer?
You could backtrack if you wanted to. And there was a side valley that you had determined didn't go anywhere.
All right, yeah. Let's get to a safe spot and then we'll do... Let's just do 2 full rests so that we can pop channels and spells and stuff in between.
And double use Cure Light Wounds to spell. Can we search the bodies before we go?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Good thing. Already moved on.
I'm sure this Etten is loaded down with treasure.
The bear has a potion of Cure Light Wounds. No, the bear has nothing. The Drake is gone. The bear has nothing on it. But you notice that the Etten is wearing a magical ring.
Nice.
Ooh. Oh. Spellcrafty.
Ring of Shooting Stars, I bet.
DC 15.
Got it. 21 for Willem.
Natural 19 for Della.
Don't worry about Della.
You both recognize this as a ring of swarming stabs.
What is that?
That sounds cool.
This ring is crafted of hardened leather strips into which bits of fur, feathers, bone, and ivory have been woven. Twice per day, when the wearer is flanking an opponent, he can, as a swift action, deal an additional 1d6 points of damage on a successful melee attack against that opponent. This is a sneak attack for any effects that reduce or negate such damage. So twice per day, if you're flanking and you hit on a melee attack, you get
sneak attack damage.
So Della, Umlo, or Will should take that.
Yeah, Will's not going to take it.
Probably Della.
Della will take it.
Yeah.
You're a stabby.
Stabby.
Yeah. Stabby. Now you got to get flanky.
You and Umlo.
Yeah.
You got to work to flank.
Well, flank you very much.
All right, so your plan, let me get this straight, is you're going, if it says 4 p.m. now, you're going to rest 8 hours.
Right.
Middle of the day. Sure, nothing will come and attack you. And then at midnight, you're going to basically spend the whole day in your campsite, hoping nothing comes. I will be rolling a random encounter. And then set out the following night.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Let's roll for the random encounter.
Okay. Before we go to sleep, Della is going to do a level one infernal healing on Nestor.
Yeah. And so he says, like, he like looks right at Will. It's just like, though it was demon's blood, it is so preferable to the acid burns that were covering my body. Thank you. What's it now? Well, again.
I was like, just let me cast the demon's
blood. All right, so you guys rest, get all your healing, you burn off your... Do you have any channels left? Yeah, you burned off your channels?
Yeah, I had one channel left. Yeah, I burned it off for 4 hit points.
And you guys make it to the next night unmolested.
All right.
Nice.
Just camped out in the middle of the valley.
Yeah, just I imagine just walking around the campsite, you know, telling stories.
Making s'mores.
Oh, by us, I mean everyone but Will. He's just lying there in bandages. And Baron just comes over and is like, hey, man, could you lay on hands while you're down there?
He just slaps his arm over.
Here you go.
As long as you got the hood popped, could you just take a look at the engine for me?
Della, I think, is really... not depressed, but certain, like sullen about the fact that Will reacted that way to what she thought was.
So you're honestly surprised.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, you wouldn't have done it if you thought it was a bad idea.
I think she thought this would convince him. So mm-hmm. when he woke up and was alive, he would be like, "Oh, it is useful," and then he reacted so violently to it.
It saved his life.
Yeah. And I think she's kind of just like off in the corner, just like not talking to anybody.
So you guys
she wanted to prove a point, and she failed to do so.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and was like chastised for it.
Yeah,
right. Like this is her. Like Sir Will came to her and gave her a speech, and this was her speech to Will.
Exactly.
Wait, you said this to Will?
It's like in an action. It wasn't a speech. It was like you came and chastised her, and now she's saying, "Well, here's what I think."
Gotcha.
And just does it.
Right.
So you guys have this. You guys have this whole day in Minderhall's Valley. Now, just staying around a campsite, you came in and you surprise some ogres. Then you go deeper into the valley and are set upon by these Lucratas. Then you start getting deeper into the valley and you hear this Etten talking about being, you know, like a rejected conscript, sent away. He's got a cave bear. Then a rando drake comes in. And looking for an easy meal. You guys survived that. Now you need... The battle was so intense, you've needed a whole day in this valley. Luckily, nothing else set upon you. I don't want to like check in with the characters like we normally do, because we pretty much know where everybody's at. But what I do want to just very briefly go through each character and talk about what your motivation is right now the driving force behind your character right now. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what I think it is, and then you fill in the blanks. So, like for Baron, I think he's become the de facto leader now. He's developing a relationship with Torag, so he is trying to spread that word, fight for Torag, while also leading this charge, because the mission in his idea is not over. While also... trying to discover who he really is. What am I missing?
I think what Baron's becoming more and more stereotypically dwarvish, where, you know, Shaylin sees all this natural beauty everywhere. He sees an unkept garden, this natural beauty, this valley, this naturally occurring valley. He'd like to dig into it, build battlements, get it ready so that the forces that are currently set against us aren't that way. So he'd like, where some people might see a beautiful like series of planes, he wants to build an interstate superhighway through it so that it's more efficient.
That makes sense. Then you have Sir Will, who has been bounced around ever since he was orphaned, you could say. Goes back to day one, bounced around, and now feels a part of a real group. Not really getting along with everybody, or your differing, your worldview, I don't know, probably wasn't challenged too much when you were the Knights of Ozum.
Yeah, of course. You know, everybody was paladins.
There were probably some dicks there for sure.
Sure.
But I mean, there weren't guys using infernal healing.
Right.
There weren't evil characters hanging out with you that you're aligned with. But you also feel a sense of place and purpose, and you've got your own personal backstory that you may have not shared with the other members of the party.
Right.
Maybe not even the other players in this game.
Sure.
That's what I see going on for Will. Fill in the blanks there.
Well, I think Will is mainly right now just thinking about how to overcome this evil, you know? And the danger is that he's realizing he's being challenged even from within the group. And he didn't expect that when in his idea of the grand journey of goodness that he wants to set out on behalf of Shaylin, to do this great deed on her behalf. And it's like, he just never realized that you would also have to deal with these moral struggles of like somebody like Della.
With the evil of man.
Who he wants to like and wanted to like, and then she goes and does something that she knows is against his will. And maybe she just doesn't understand that he's willing to die. Like, being alive is not as important to him as being good and honorable in the eyes of his God. And so he doesn't know how to explain it to her. And so for right now, he's just sort of being a little bit guarded. And he wants to approach her at some point and ask her, like, to never do that again.
Right.
And just leave it at that. Just, you know, but other than that, yeah, he's realizing now that it's going to be much harder than he thought, because it's not just overcoming evil on the battlefield.
Right.
It's also like the very intricate moral decisions within a group of your friends, and he's just never experienced that before, and it's hard.
Sure, he was in the world wound. He saw demons. That was evil. You know?
Right.
And he wants to fight giants who are trying to take over the world. That is evil. But now he's realizing that there is a struggle even within normal people to overcome evil, and he's seeing it every day now.
Right.
With Della kind of, you know, she's figuring herself out.
Right.
And Nestor, who is, you know, his own embodiment of it.
So he still believes he's on this quest, but he thinks that part of the quest is also resolving, you know, his morality against those of his allies that he's teamed up with.
Then you got Della, who was in a tree for however long, gets kind of thrown in with this party, wrapped up in it. And obviously there's this uber story of finding her father, maybe finding her mother, finding out what happened there.
Right.
Father's dead. Mother is where. You get tricked by Iwiga. But now you're in a group. You know, at first it was like, I'll go with you guys until I find my parents. But now you've got caught up in this other mission. But at the same time, you've got this growing relationship with Nestor. You have a bloodlust in a certain way. You're a killing machine. So what else is motivating Della right now?
I mean, the search for Brander, I think, is probably the chief thing for her.
Now, that's something that Brander flew away.
But he did say, I'm going to strike this on the forge in Minderhall's Valley, didn't he?
Right.
So, like, I think Della was like, I mean, obviously, she has some loyalty to Brander.
Yeah, I said Minderhall's Forge.
Minderhall's Forge.
Which you can, well, Minderhall's Valley, like, maybe he's there because we have no other way of tracking him.
Right. This is the best lead.
This is our best lead, yeah.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people would be like, well, why didn't they go right after Brander? Well, maybe that's what Lork did. Who knows? But, like, there was no, let's follow the trace. He cast Overland Flight and was gone. All you know is Minderhall's Forge.
Right.
And so that's the thing that we got to make sure we keep thinking about, is that you went to Galabras' body and said, I will find him. I will kill him. I'm doing this for you. But now you're kind of getting caught up in this other stuff.
I mean, there's an interesting thing that happened here is that the two people in the party she was probably closest to are gone, Lork, and incapacitated in Galabras. And Baron, who she was also friends with, is now assumed this leadership role, so there's a disconnect there.
Right.
So
he's kind of he's kind of my boss now.
He's kind of my boss.
Go out for drinks like we used to.
Right, exactly.
Obviously,
he doesn't come to happy hour anymore.
this wouldn't be right.
I've got two kids at home. I gotta.
And
I know we're friends, but I gotta write you up.
And obviously there's this antagonism with Will, and Nestor, who she initially was, you know, did not like at all, is the only one that's been making sense lately.
The only one she can at least talk to. Now Sir Will won't talk to at all, and Baron, you feel that makes sense.
I also got to say, I think Baron's really bummed out at Della and Will having this issue, because Baron as a character and myself as the role player got real choked up with the handover of the armor to Will, and like really saw Galabras, like his goodness, mm-hmm. on the battlefield again, and it was great to see him that, to see it kind of dashed and not work out with Della, knowing how well they got along, it's sad. And you know, I don't think he knows brute force works, but after that failed diplomacy check, he's not quite sure what to say to get them to play nice.
Yeah, you've got Willamette, who is truly good, and Della, who is, you know, still discovering herself. and they're both incredibly naive. Hmm. And then it comes to Nestor. It was the most, you know, interesting one in terms of why. Why is Nestor here? He was given a second chance at life. He was captured by giants deep in the mountains weeks ago at this point, set upon by giants, overheard a name of a giant that was perhaps the boss. Why is Nestor? Nestor had every opportunity within this fight, and this is something that should be affecting the other characters, to just get out of Dodge. It's like, true. You got a chance.
Multiple times. Anytime during the night, they could have run off.
What is motivating Nestor right now? Revenge?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got revenge on his mind, and I don't think this isn't anything that he has yet shared. I don't know if he will, even with the other members of the party, but he wants to get this guy, and he knows, or at least strongly suspects, that he can't do it alone. He's seen these people in a fight, and he knows that they're good at killing things. And he wants to manipulate them into helping him get his revenge, or hope to get his revenge as a matter of course within what they're already planning to do. So that's why he's sticking around. He thinks that this path will lead him to this guy.
Yeah, just like the prospectors from Schindlerman's Fortune that were being taken for tribute, Nestor was taken, and he overheard very similar things being taken to some other creature. So Nestor, the difference between Nestor and the people of Schindlerman's Fortune is Nestor can fight. Right. You're saving these people from Schindlerman, hopefully, as many as you can, and then they're just going to go back home and try and rebuild their
town. They're not going to track him down
right. And
make this giant pay. Like Nestor is going
to. But Nestor is. And Nestor now has a group with which he is now able to do it.
And he's respected. He respects these guys because they can fight. Della, like, especially. Like, he sees some of himself in her. And he's sort of tolerating the other two's emerging tendency to be sanctimoniously patronizing in the hopes of fulfilling his personal mission.
And so is this day.
Don't forget Umlo.
Oh, and don't forget Umlo. I mean,
and Umlo.
Yeah, I mean, I can say for Umlo, he had no desires to be a part of this mission, but now he is inexorably linked in honor of his sister, in honor of his ancestor, and to honor the men and women that saved his life.
And the magical thing that is happening to him with the hand.
Right.
The hand is turning him into someone who is like going to hunt giants, you know,
for the rest of his life.
Even against his own will.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally, he will be pulled against his own will into battles.
And, you know, so as this day wears on, it's really the first day. It's just been a while since you guys have certainly been in an area like this where you're just taking a moment to reflect. And so thinking about, why do I keep doing this? I almost got killed. Time and time again, I almost got killed. I almost got killed. Yesterday.
Yeah, and I think Sir Will, at a certain point during that day, will say to Nestor that he knows that Nestor could have fled in that battle, and he thanks him for staying.
Oh, no, don't get all mushy on me, mate. Just sometimes I get the red mist, and I can't help myself.
Well, I think that you might not realize that you're a good man deep down. That's the coin.
Well, that's it first. Thank you. Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah. You're a good judge of people, Will.
I always thought so.
Got keen insight into the human soul.
Side glance at Della.
That's what my mother always told me.
I'm looking at Della just laughing as he's telling me this.
Like, Della's sitting in the corner with her hair down over her face, right. Just like,
I'm a good man. You hear that? I'm a good man, deep down.
You haven't quite found it yet, but you may,
no,
one day.
I'm on the path, though. I'll find it one of these days. With your help.
Baron actually,
I'm sure,
walks over to Nestor and reaches into his duster and hands him one of his last bottles of whiskey. And he says, I'm not drinking as much as I used to, but I think you deserve a nice bit of dwarvish whiskey to compliment you on your bravery out there.
Oh, he like pulls the stopper out and sniffs. He says, "Oh, this is the good stuff, mate."
It is. It's so, finally.
Sorry, like he pats himself. He says, "I don't. I don't have anything. I can't reciprocate the
money. You don't have to. I just got to say
that. I didn't know we were doing Secret Santa, but.
no. Secret Touareg.
This is. No, I appreciate this. It's very nice.
You know, there's a lot easier ways to make a living than to be out here in the wilderness with us.
Well, that may be true, but, you know, when you've got a particular set of skills, you're sort of limited in your life choices, aren't you?
All right.
So, off you guys go into the night. Let's try a new strategy. The cover of Dite. What, obviously, Baron and Della, you guys have dark vision or low light?
Dark vision.
And then Sir Will and Nestor don't. What do you guys want to do? Do you want to remain hidden or do you want to crack sun rods and play it safe? Or do whatever light you'd like. Have Della cast light. Della, is your scimitar on fire?
Well, is it? But is it total darkness? I mean, are there no stars or moon?
No, the stars are moon, but you would need at least the light of a campfire.
I would think that you would be able to see, you know, within 20 feet, like
I will say
it would be dim light.
We'll say the conditions are low light vision.
Low light. And so after 20 feet, it's complete blackness to us.
Right.
But within 20 feet. Nestor and I would have a mischance.
Yeah. Right.
But we can see.
You can see, yes. Yeah, you've got the valley is creating a canopy of stars for you guys to light your way.
Romantic.
Thank you. So off you guys go. And for the most part, the valley has not had many, let's go this way. There was one early on where you tracked back to the Lucrata's cave. But everything else has been a straight shoot following the stream. Until now.
Fork in the road.
As you continue downward, the valley begins to slowly widen over a mile or so. And you see up ahead in the distance that it widens and splits multiple ways. Definitely to the northeast. Looks like also to the southeast. And as you turn the corner, you see off in the distance it also splits to the southwest. Three-way fork. The shouts of a raucous argument echo from somewhere on the path ahead. The voices are deep and guttural. Who understands giant?
Umlo.
Just?
Only Umlo.
Just Umlo. You hear... Umlo is starting to piece it together. Does anyone else try to do anything to try and understand it?
I don't have any options.
Is it pigeon?
We don't know tongues, bro.
Is it?
You don't know comprehend languages or anything?
It's not pigeon like the other language the Eden was speaking, is it?
Is there a knowledge check? I mean,
linguistics.
I could roll a linguistics check.
Do a linguistics check.
Yeah, you can try it.
Della will do a linguistics check. 13.
Yeah, a word here and there. You've fought enough giants at this point to pick up pieces, but Umlo can translate the general gist of it for you. And you see up ahead three disgusting large creatures arguing near a fire. And Umlo is, again, translating this. One of them just hauls off and punches one in the face.
Whoa.
Boom.
See, you can't even take a punch. This is why we got turned away.
See, you can't even take a punch. This is why they got turned away. Umlo is translating.
Right. The other
one says, I'll show you how to take a punch.
I'll show you how to take a punch.
And he hauls off with his club and just smashes the guy in the face.
Whoa. Smashes
you
him
hear
the face.
A crack.
Crack. Saw that.
Oh, we can see that.
Umlo.
You hear a crack, and he just whirls around and lands on his stomach facing you guys, and he just spits out two yellow teeth the size of dish plates.
Now you broke my fucking tooth. I'm going to kill you.
This is the best.
The third one grabs his club and swings the other one's stomach. And just like a baseball bat, like Barry Bonds, just boom, hits him in the stomach. And then the other one is like, wait, you fucking dolts. The one who's laying on the ground facing at you. We've got company.
Why don't we take out this anger and put it towards them? Maybe we can offer them as tribute and get a second chance.
And the one who started the fight to begin with says,
oh, I'll kill them all right. But then I'm going to kill you and you and take all the glory myself.
They look like this.
Oh!
Whoa. Roll for initiative.
Oh, whoa. Wow.
Oh, my God.
What is that? That's not an ogre.
Woo!
At least no ogre I've ever seen.
All right. Three drunken brutes. Guy gets up, dusts himself off when the other one yells. I gotta get these guys. Let's talk about initiative. Who's got over 20?
I do.
Oh, nice.
Me too.
22 for Nestor, 22 for Della.
24 for
no, me. I said I do.
Oh.
29.
I
thought you were there going to say 22.
Great. Let's say 22.
24 for Della.
24 for Della. Baron?
17 for Baron.
Sir Will?
10.
And Umla. Boo, Matthew, boo.
14.
14.
He's not wearing hockey pads.
you said 10 for Sir Will.
Yes.
Well, they are all standing around a fire, blocking, in a way, the exit of the valley to the southwest. Exit to the northeast, exit to the southeast, exit to the southwest. The first fork you've come to. But more important than that, there's a battle to be had. Why are these three drunken, weird-looking giants that you've never seen before fighting? Round one, Nestor Coin, flat-footed. Sing it, Skid.
I'm gonna take a knowledge check just to see what these things are. Anything I can?
Okay, knowledge local.
33.
All right, they are called Veds.
Huh.
V-E-D.
Wow, I've never heard of these things.
Yep, they are...
They're kind of like hunchbacked.
They kind of look like an ogre and a giant made love.
They've got beards.
An ogre and a hill giant.
Yep.
They are drunk right now.
Okay.
They have a power called Gale Breath. Okay. This is what I'm going to tell you with a 33. And Gale Breath... is every once in a while they can blow out, they have an amazing lung capacity. They can blow this breath of air at you guys. Anyone that's super close to them, just if they fail their save, they're gonna be fall knock prone. Sir Will, as a small creature, is gonna have a real hard time with it. If you're farther away, you're still affected by it, but you have to like roll a strength check to move against it, but everyone takes a -4 to range once they start blowing. Regardless of whether or not you make the save. So that's what Nestor knows.
So
like Vids, I've heard of these.
So yeah, he says the Vids, they got nasty breath like the big bad bloody wolf. And he takes two shots.
Okay, which one? The foremost one?
The closest one.
Okay.
22 to hit.
That is a hit.
Yes.
Nice.
25 damage.
25 damage. And you didn't have to move. You were in good position, right?
Yeah, and take a second shot. Miss on the second.
Miss on the second shot. Della.
Della wants to cast a spell, but she needs to know if it would have... The spell only affects creatures of a certain hit die or lower.
Ah, a certain hit die or lower.
So she can roll a knowledge local to see if the spell would be effective.
That's fine with me.
Okay. 26. I just need to know if they have 5 or fewer hit die.
They do not. They have more.
They have more. Okay, great. Della will then swift action, keen and shock the scimitar. And she will cast vanish on herself and start to sneak up on them.
Okay, so cast vanish, swift, keen, and shocking grass, you said?
Shock the scimitar.
All right. Della's invisible. Baron.
30 feet, you want to go?
Yeah, 30 feet along to the right side.
Can we safely assume that Baron thinks these are giant subtype?
Yes.
Okay, so Baron's having a bit of a conundrum choosing between the heavy crossbow, which takes forever to load.
Right.
Or the gun. He's going to take his first shot. Well, then he's going to have to... I wish I had quick draw like Lork did. Oof, it's rough.
I wish I had Lork.
Yeah. No kidding.
Baron is
going... He'd miss.
That's true. Orko's charging in.
Baron's going to pull off the crossbow and take the round to load it.
Okay.
If I can't have it loaded on my back because you're a jerk.
That's right.
Okay.
That's exactly it.
That is true.
Well, you know what? Going forward, Grant, we should probably, in these situations, you should just be walking along with it loaded.
Yeah.
Pointed right in front of you as we walk.
Sure.
If that's going to be a weapon of choice, it makes sense.
At least for opening
to
round.
To start, yeah, right. When you're far away.
And they just toss the crossbow.
Work a safety mechanism onto it so you can carry it loaded.
Yeah, I do have engineering and this profession fisherman I've been trying to use.
Yes.
I've forgotten terms of light. Is everybody okay? Nestor, go.
There's a,
don't worry about it.
There was a campfire.
I should have. They're right by a campfire.
They were by a campfire, so you can see them. Okay.
Is it dim light, or what's this? What is that?
No, they're in full light right now.
Yeah, they're right next to their own campfire. Yeah.
Okay. So, until they move more than 20 feet away from that fire, everything's fine. It is now Umlo's turn.
Umlo is going to step up 20 feet, and that should put him within range for Heartspit. The main guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is 15 feet away. The one that.
Will Nestor saves. Hit. All the will saves for everyone. Saves. Everyone takes will saves.
Will saves all around.
All right.
Oh, and Umlo has to make a will save too.
I detect evil at will.
Oh, that's right. What is, all right, so what's the DC?
I thought that was funny.
What's
it
the
was,
DC?
It was.
For 16. DC 16 will save.
Okay, first one makes it. The one that Nestor hit fails. And the third one makes it. So
the one
it?
That Nestor hit is -4 to attack and saving throws, I think.
All right, so it's not a shaken thing. It's just
not
minus
sickened,
four.
Right? Yeah. It's -4 to hit.
Okay.
So the one that failed is the one that Umlo can reach. So he's going to, and Umlo made his save. So he's going to run up and try to stab with Heartspit.
And again, by making the save, it doesn't. You just won't keep killing it, regardless of.
He could do what he wants.
He can also charge.
Yeah, it was a straight line.
Oh, yeah, you can charge.
I will charge.
So he'll charge up with the spear and just
plus two to the attack.
Come on, Matthew.
Natural 18.
Oh, that's a hit, baby. It's a hit. Right. Man, I'm waiting for that 20 to do that.
No, I want that.
I know.
So he's a giant, right?
He sure is.
So that's 4d6 plus 4.
Nice.
19 points of damage.
Woo!
Way to go, Umlo!
Good charge by the Ummaster.
Die, giant!
The Ummaster General.
And it only gets stuck inside on a crit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And then automatic 2d6 if you decide to pull it out. Sir, Will. Slowly crawling back to life. Still a bloodstain on your head.
So yeah, the party is sort of fanned out, and Will's right in the middle of them right now. He's going to ride out to the side. And
like opposite the way Della went, although you didn't know
right
where
exactly.
Della went,
he's going to ride out wide so that he can free himself up for a charge somewhere, or draw one of them toward him. He wants to be at least 20 feet away from one of them. So
oh wait, was that the giant hadn't acted? So does Umlo get sneak attack damage?
Does he?
Is he a rogue?
Yeah, he has sneak attack.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's then, right. Yeah, roll that.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, totally.
Make your hero laugh.
Oh.
An extra 6 points of damage.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh. That's awesome.
All right.
So basically, Will turns Lexington to the side. He's got the Highbury Lance up with the pennant, and he rides to the side a little bit and repositions himself a little farther from his party, so he opens up his angles and options for a charge, and he is going to look at the closest one to him, which is different from the one that Umlo's been attacking, and he's going to... call down a smite of Iomedai on the creature and smite evil.
Oh, on the third one there?
Yeah.
So they're all like 1, 2, 3. Nestor's been messing up number 2. You smite
number 3.
You see now that the first one has a black eye. The second one is obviously missing teeth. Reminiscent of Nestor. We'll call him Lil Nestor. Actually, Big Nestor. And the other one that Sir Will just smote has a blood just gushing out of his nose. So they've been fighting each other for a while. And the other thing I want to tell you is just to describe them, they're like brutish, hairy giants with overly large, misshapen heads. And as Nestor now knows, an enormous lung capacity. It is the Ved's turn. Ved number 3 starts making his way towards Sir Will.
Oh. And the whole point was to stay out of its reach in one move.
Didn't it move diagonally that
whole way?
Doesn't
it have more than 20 feet of movement?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so then it doesn't matter. Then it wouldn't matter.
Jig-jag.
I was assuming it had 20 feet of movement.
Yeah, and its reach is 10. So it gets within 10 feet of Sir Will and just swings a club. And that was a charge. Natural 1.
Yeah.
Ooh, sweet.
And it only has one attack. So it's a confirmed fumble right out of the gate.
Beautiful.
This is a melee attack. Pointy end goes there. You take 1 point of con damage.
Oh, nice.
So
why didn't we pull those critical failure cards when we were playing our last battle? Because that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. Ved number two blows from without.
He sure does.
It's lung. He just blows. He just, it's a 30-foot cone. All right, so because neither Umlo or Della is within 10 feet of this, it acts as the spell Gust of Wind. You're both medium creatures, so in order for either of you to move forward, you'll have to make a, for the next round, you'll have to make a DC 15 strength check.
Oh, interesting.
Either of you using range, it's going to be a -4 penalty. Actually, anyone that enters that cone, anyone shooting through that cone, it's a -4 range penalty.
Can you step out of the cone?
But you have to make a strength check to get out of it.
It's a 30-foot cone, so actually...
So if I'm like blown, could I like step, like wouldn't like any kind of...
You can step backward and you can step... You can step backward to the side, you can't step forward.
Okay.
And because you're not within 10 feet, you don't fall down. So that's what the second one does, the one who has been messed up. And then the other one moves up towards Umlo, because it doesn't see Della, and it's not very smart. And Della will get an attack of opportunity, and so will Umlo, because it moves up.
Della's not going to take
it. Della doesn't take it, so Umlo gets an attack of opportunity.
Natty 18 again.
Nice.
That is a hit.
That's, and then no
sneak. Thank God Matthew's playing him this week.
No sneak attack that time. 18 points of damage.
Nice. 18 points of damage on Ved number one. All right, so one of them fumbled, one of them blew, and the other one is now attacking Umlo, and he's going to do something called Awesome Blow.
Okay.
So it's going to be an attack against Umlo's CMD. Natty 19. 27 against Umlo's CMD.
Do I get a bonus to my CMD for any kind of hatred against giants?
No.
For,
you're not going to have 27.
No. It's actually just 20. So yeah, hits.
All right, so Umlo takes 10 points of damage and flies 10 feet and lands prone.
Oh, wow.
Holy jeez.
He just batter up, boom! Sends Umlo flying 10 feet. It would actually
wow.
Be 10 feet that way. And Umlo is now prone. Round two, Nestor Coin.
I'm going to take a couple of shots at the one who just blew Umlo.
Okay. I knew that was coming.
And that shouldn't be within the cone because he's in front of the other giant, the Ved's cone now. Like, right. Nestor's not going to take a -4 because of where that Ved is standing in front of the cone.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
19?
19 hits.
Sweet. With El Jolta, that would be 19 damage.
Okay, boom.
And Nestor. Second shot, same thing. It's another hit, and another 13 points of damage.
13 points of damage. Nestor, with the being able to use ranged is a really good quality for Nestor.
For me,
I noticed that now. Gotta remember that, Skid. You should use your range.
I don't know what I was thinking last time. Obeying the laws of the rules of that crit card.
Della.
So is Della still in the cone, or is she blocked by the... I mean, I don't understand. I don't know how this works.
Della and that thing is in the cone. If you're within 30 feet of that cone, you're affected by it.
Okay. Della is going to take a 5-foot step sideways to get in melee with the Ved who stepped up. Shocking grasp.
Well, you have to go against the gust.
To step sideways?
Sideways,
I didn't.
No.
But it's still toward the creature that's blowing.
No, the creature from the back is the one that's blowing.
I know, that's... toward that creature. Isn't that the whole point of the spell?
Now you're talking diagonal versus forward.
The gust is going this way and I came this way.
If you step here or here, it's going to... You have to roll. So you want to step away from this thing.
No, toward it.
Oh, toward it? Oh, well then, that's going to... Okay. Yeah, you're going towards.
The gust has to hit it straight on, not at a 45 degree angle. And then I think that's how it works.
I'm telling you, GM's call, you got to roll a strength check. Step back.
Diagonally to be in combat with it that way.
This way.
No. Yeah. So he steps that way.
Okay. All right, so Della steps back. This is the one that stepped up and battered up against Umlo.
She casts Shocking Grasp, but she doesn't have to roll for because she's still invisible, and now she becomes visible to deal the damage.
How Della got her groove back.
Crack die. That is a 22 to hit.
That is a hit.
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. This is the one that Nestor just shot at.
Just keeps getting tasered. There's a lot of electricity damage. This guy's been... I wonder if he's ever taken... If he's ever been shocked in his
entire life. You didn't know you were doing this?
I'm running two characters here. That's 39 points of damage.
And Della kills the first man. Boom!
It's just lying on the ground.
And it starts blowing away.
His carcass just starts rolling away.
Like a plastic bag in a Katy Perry song.
Great.
Della, is that all you want to do?
Well, she can't hit anything with her actual attacks.
That's right. All right, you are now visible, Baron.
Baron says, whoa, at seeing Della get her groove back, and decides, seeing the gust still going from the further away Ved, to shoot at the Ved that is in combat with Will with the Giant's Bane heavy crossbow.
Hit it. Right, in combat with Will, but not.
That is a 26 to hit a hit.
That is nice. It. This is the one that has not been hit yet.
16 points of damage. Nice. 18 points of damage.
18 points of damage. Boom! All right, anything else? Or that was the crossbow?
Yes, that was a crossbow, which I can only fire one.
Is that a Giant's Bane crossbow?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1d10 plus 2d6, and then plus 2.
All right, it is time for Umlo, who is laying down on the job!
So can Umlo stand up without having against the wind? Does he have to roll a strength check to stand up?
Sorry.
No, because he's not within 10 feet of it. So you can just stand up. It's a move action.
Okay, so Umlo will stand up as a move action, and then he will... He'll move to the side to start getting in flanking position against the other Ved, the one that's going after Will. He's not going to be able to attack right there.
So he's going to move there-ish. So he is now on opposite sides of the Ved.
Exactly.
I think he's going to take him. He'll have to move next round because he can't move diagonally to get there. All right, Baron, you had a question.
Last thing I did at the end of my turn was to sheath the giant Spain crossbow on my back.
Okay, because you didn't move.
A shot sheathed.
Okay, great. Sir Will.
Sir Will is going to lower his lance, spur Lexington to action. For Highbury!
For Highbury!
And then charge past this giant thing and see if he can't get a smite evil hit.
Oh, please.
On this thing.
So do you get the charge where you're more than 10 feet away? I think you do, right?
I'm 10 feet away, yeah.
Yeah, so you get your charge. Yep. So you're moving this way?
Yeah, straight by it, right to the edge of the wherever. Is it like difficult terrain past there?
Nope.
Okay, then I'll
move any further.
I can't go in there.
No. This is a wall.
A wall of forest.
It's a rock wall. You're in a valley.
No, I'm pissed at the
hero. Wait, Troy, are we in La Valley?
Oh! No, this combat's way too easy.
all right. Here we go. For Highbury.
For Highbury.
23.
That is a hit.
23 is a hit.
Yay.
And he does triple damage with the lance.
Oh, jeepers.
Against a smoten opponent that is 24 points of damage.
24 points of damage.
Well, he is evil, right?
Oh, he's evil.
Okay, I was going to make sure they're not neutral.
They're neutral evil. Just runs past. You just run past, and now you're at the other end of the valley. Or at the other, you're like...
Yeah, and I'm like, I run 25 feet past.
Near
it.
Where its fire is. Okay.
To its right, around its right side. And yeah.
Okay, so you run past, straight line, take a big chunk out of its leg. You just smell its stinky alcohol breath, and you end up there. It is now their turn. One of them is dead. The one you just
Which
took.
Which is the one that got punched?
The one
that's dead.
No, this one here. The one that Nestor's. Yeah, the one that blew. Now this one turns around and blows at Sir Will.
Ooh.
Let's see.
Ooh, into the wall.
Gets within 10 feet to try and blow Sir Will off of Lexington into the wall.
That's definitely going to happen.
I think you have a check to stay in the saddle. I'm not sure. I think it's just your reflex save. You fail a reflex save, you fly off the horse.
Okay.
Not the horse, the wolf.
All right, reflex save for Sir Willamette.
Excuse me.
Picking up the die.
Strength check. DC 18 strength check.
Oh, God.
DC 18 strength.
Yep.
All right, come on, Will. Lean into the wind. 17.
Oh,
are you shitting me?
So Sir
17!
Will gets blown off Lexington.
Well, doesn't Lexington also have to?
Boom. Yeah, Lexington would have to roll too. But let's just have first Sir Will hits. Boom. Takes 2 points of damage. Lands on the ground next to Sir Will. I mean, next to Lexington. I'm getting this wolf and...
the wolf is in command.
Now, Lexington roll a DC 18 strength check.
Okay. Failed.
Lexington also gets blown into the wall and takes 4 points of damage. Both Lexington and Sir Will are prone.
Oh my God. This is awful.
Constant stream of air, and it's within 10 feet of you. The second one, the one that is in the worst shape out of the two, now sees Della and tries to do an awesome blow on Della. Just batter up. Boom. This is going to be combat maneuver check attack. And, oop, crack die. 20 against your CMD.
Yep.
Hits Della. Della falls 10 feet backwards and takes 9 point of damage, lands prone. Boom! Just knocks Della back. Just enough that having to use a move action to stand up can really nerf what you're trying to do. And that's the end of round two. Nestor.
So,
the champion of this fight.
Still emitting gusts of
nope,
breath.
That was a one round thing. Once okay. It took its new turn, the gust is over.
Then he's going to take a full attack against this thing that just hit his friend, Della.
Okay.
Time to get nasty.
Study target, deadly aim, all the rest.
Bottle cap, thank you.
16.
16 hits exactly.
Oh, wow.
Big old target.
14 damage.
14 damage, and Nestor kills the second one.
Yeah.
Nice.
That one falls back into the fire. And from the alcohol, it just catches flame.
Nice. And I'm going to take my second shot at the guy who just blew Sir Will.
Fair enough.
Maybe he wanted to.
17.
17 hits.
19 damage.
19 damage. Boom! Gets smushed. It is now Della's turn.
Della will stand up and magic missile the giant that's still
alive. Nice.
Magic missile, magic missile.
10 points of damage.
10 points of damage, and Della kills the
Yeah! Yeah.
You know what was good about that combat, too? Not, we don't know how close they are to anyone else, but not firing the gun, we stayed that pretty stealthy, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of, except the screaming of the guy burnt into flames. But beyond that.
They were already fighting anyways.
Right, yeah. So if they had attracted anything, that would have happened a while ago. But there certainly wasn't a sound. Yeah. And they are all dead or dying.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What do you guys do?
Will wants to search the camp and see if there's any people. Any prisoners?
You, a cursory glance, you don't see anybody.
Yeah.
They were just standing in front of the southeast.
Search the bodies?
Search the bodies.
You search the bodies, and they have nothing on them except booze. Booze that would probably be lethal to Della.
Can I appraise the booze? I want to appraise it.
Sure.
I'm a booze master. We get a plus 12 to this. It's a 14.
14. You could sell it as a poison, probably.
Oh, we somewhere. Get poison again. This is our second poison of the game.
Yeah, no, it's like, it would kill. It probably Baron could probably drink it and be like, drink a moonshine. Okay, they are bleeding out.
Can we tie one of them and lay on hands and question it?
Yeah, you better do it quick.
Yeah, let's go to the leader. The one that was like, I'm going
to kill
the other one.
Yeah. The one that Della just killed with the magic missile that came after Sir Will.
I'm going to take into my own hands the Law of True Now and coup de grace the other two. Give them a quick death instead of letting them bleed out.
Okay. Who's rushing to this one?
Will is going to rush and...
Umlo is right there, so he'll help too.
First, he'll try to do a heal check to stabilize. And he does. So he stabilizes him without healing him yet, so he's still unconscious.
Okay.
Hog time?
Stable time. Stabilize and unconscious.
Yeah, and then he's going to hog tie him.
All right, so you guys tie him up?
Yeah.
Okay. He is now unconscious and tied up.
Do you want to lay hands? Do you want to use a wand?
The flames are, licking off the wall, and the shadows of these dead giants are like casting huge shadows on the valley walls.
Yeah, I'll lay on hands, but I'm going to wait until Nestor's over there and Baron's over there with their guns and everything.
I'm pointed right at him. Spit, like right
on his throat.
Yeah. We've all got a bead on him.
Okay.
So Will kneel down, touch him, and I'm not sure what his HP was at, so let's just try a quick lay on hands for 6 healing.
6. You'd have to do it one more time.
Damn it.
Say you do it. There goes your lay on
hands. But I'm using them up.
Right.
7.
Yeah, they have a 20 con, so
Jesus.
He was near. You almost weren't able to do this, but you do bring him to. And he sees all of you, gun, bow, flaming scimitar, whatever, shocking scimitar on him. Sorry.
Let me go. I won't just let me leave. I'll leave you alone. My friends are dead.
Shut up, says Umlo.
You got yourselves 4 of the 5, even, of the most well-renowned giant killers in all of Galarian. And we need some information if you want to live to take your little tail and run away from Menderhall's Valley, because it seemed like you weren't strong enough to join up.
You can't understand what you're saying.
Exactly. All right, Umlo, interrogate.
He just spits in your face, Baron, and you get hit in the face by this stinky alcohol sodden, like, wet spot on your face.
Umlo, with the spear, gives him, like, a little slash across the cheek. Just, like, non-lethal damage to give him, like, just, like,
ties
watch it. And then, I'll translate.
That's a -4 to hit.
What did you say?
And he tells him, and you tell him that.
Yep.
And then he spits in Umlo's face.
He actually should probably.
I'm gonna roll like slap him with the flat end of the spear.
Sure, you want to roll non-lethal?
Yeah.
Okay, so minus, whatever. He's an easy target to hit.
22.
Yeah. So you hit him, boom, non-lethal. Anybody else do anything to him? Just menacing, threatening, intimidation checks.
Yeah, I'm gonna do an intimidation. I'm gonna ask Umlo, I say, what's a giantish for we're going to cut your dick off and serve it at dinner?
Umlo tells him. Right. It's so roughly translated.
So I try to get the pronunciation right. Well, it's difficult, missing the 2 teeth, but it's a 30 intimidate check.
30 intimidate.
Wow.
Spear, non-lethal to the face. And he just, head hanging, drool coming out of his mouth, just the stink of alcohol and stinky breath, and he just starts laughing. Giant killers? You think you're giant killers? Then you haven't met the Storm Tyrant. Oh, the Storm Tyrant will find you, and his pet dragon. And if they don't get you, then the massing of hundreds of giant troops will get you first. You'll never make your way. You'll never find the mighty fortress to the south and a holy forge soon to be restored upon, which the giants shall once again forge powerful weapons to conquer the world.
So,
my
see
precious.
You next week.
Yeah, on that performance. All right, we'll let it go.